Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Holistic Hippie Podcast. I'm coming to you today with episode 3, just a short and sweet little episode during these very strange times that we have found ourselves in with COVID-19. And I've been reluctant to really say much about this particular topic because it is slightly controversial. There's a lot of information and myths and misinformation that's circulating, and there's a lot of unknowns when it comes to the amount of information and the type of information that's even being passed on to us via our mainstream media and government officials. And so I think that's part of the reason why we're experiencing the level of panic. We put a lot of trust in the media, and we put a lot of trust in the government, and we hope that these outlets have our best interest in mind. And there seems to be a level of fear that's rising. And so I wanted to just address really, really briefly here with episode number 3, instead of diving down the rabbit hole of fear and chaos and everything that we are being really pushed towards during these uncertain times, I believe that there is a tremendous amount of opportunity. And that opportunity really lies in this strange place that we found ourselves in, almost on this sort of house arrest where we are being asked to stay at home and work from home. And, you know, those of us that are fortunate enough to be able to work from home. And then there's a whole lot of people that aren't going to be able to go to work moving forward for an unforeseeable amount of time. And so during this time, I think there's a lot of emotions. And I was reminded today of one of the most simplistic and yet most profound set of instructions given by Gandhi, which is to be the change that you wish to see in the world. And I think that this is so profound because it really implies that there is a lot that we can do without doing anything in particular. This is, for me, one of the most profound pieces of advice that we could heed, especially during this type of a crisis. There's a lot of talk about things going back to normal, quote unquote, the way things were before. And yet we kind of forget to realize that things were not really all that great before either. I mean, when you look around at the rates of poverty, the rates of hunger, the rates of starvation, how many people are dying every single day from starvation is astronomical. That is a pandemic. Now, there's so many other crimes against humanity, crimes against children, crimes against animals that go unnoticed every single day. And yet a virus shuts the world down. There are so many flaws with the way that this world has been run, and capitalism is one of them. And yet it's also the part of the world that allows us to make money and to do all of the things that we think that we like to do. And there's really not a whole lot about this that's natural in the world. And so for me, I see that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity to make some pretty profound lasting change. And yet we don't know much. We are kind of hanging on the government's every word, waiting for instructions, waiting for some good news, waiting for the go-ahead to resume business as usual. And in the meantime, I think we have a tendency to drive ourselves a little bit crazy. It's hard not to. I mean, everywhere you go, you pick up social media and there's something constantly being posted on social media. You flick on the news, you get an article sent to you from a friend, and that ensues this whole rabbit hole of reading article after article after article. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And so this concept of being the change, I think, is one that we could really tangibly start to think about and work with right now in the midst of being pretty helpless. See, the whole concept of being is very, very different than I think we realize. Being is not really something the Western world has got a grasp on. The Western world is very, very good at doing. And it's kind of been over-glorified, you know, being productive, being proactive, accomplishing, achieving, doing constantly. That is what we glorify in the Western world. And so making this transition from doing to being is incredibly valuable. Even if this whole thing is over tomorrow and we all go back to work, I think that there's still so much that we can take away from this in terms of how we have been being during this crisis, during this experience. Now, when we give way to fear and panic, that puts us into a different state of being than when we feel calm and secure and safe. And I think this is what's really kind of rising, is this like really primal fear of our safety and security and our basic needs not being met. This is why you see people going crazy to overbuy at the grocery stores. And it kind of turns into this dog-eat-dog world, every man for himself, which is not at all coming from a state of love. That is coming from a state of fear and of lack. And so when we are acting in the world, we are acting out of our current state of being. And so this is where this advice becomes so, so super profound. Who you are being is going to inform every single way that you show up in the world, from the conversations that you have to the thoughts that you think. And from there, we actually have opportunity to work on ourselves. In the Bible, I can't remember where, I've read the Bible front to back a few times in my childhood, but in the Bible it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it points to this exact same notion, this state of being. And so now is such an incredible time, A, because we have a little bit of extra time than we normally would, to sit and contemplate some of these things. When we can move our state of being to one that is aligned with love and compassion and empathy and really just the better of humanity, then the way that we show up in the world is incredibly different than the people driving around trying to hoard all of the resources. In that particular stance, I mean, the idea is that I buy more for me, that way there is less for you, that way survival of the fittest, I win. And that's kind of the mentality. Whereas when we are approaching things from a place of abundance or a place of love or a place of trust that the resources on this planet are bountiful and abundant, and that there will always be enough to go around, that's a completely different energy. That's a completely different way to be. It's a completely different state of being. Now, for us in the Western world, obviously, to say that the world is bountiful is a very different experience than people might have on another part of the world. And for me, that's where a lot of the problem comes from. We want to return back to a world that was never very good to begin with. There have been so many issues that we have become desensitized to and we turn a blind eye to. And now is really the time, in my opinion, to start to consider what kind of a world that we want to contribute to energetically. How do we want to show up in the world? This is a great time to reset. I mean, as you can see, there's been lots of things circulating on social media about how the earth is literally regenerating because we are not consuming as much, because we are staying indoors, because we are not polluting as much. There's so many different reasons that the earth is starting to regenerate herself. And so with that kind of said, I mean, it's an opportunity for us to do the very same thing with our internal landscapes. Now, I mean, when I first started studying yoga philosophy, we learned about meditation, and it's really not something that I practiced for myself regularly until probably the last couple of years. And even then, I mean, I've taken breaks from it here and then. It's like you go through this period of time in a state of almost amnesia, forgetting all of the tools that have really filled your cup and kind of moving into this state of being that's very low vibrational. And low vibrational states of being would be those of fear, of lack, of hate, of judgment. And so we can do so much for the world without even leaving our house. We can do so much just by tuning inwards and addressing the inner landscapes of the heart and of the mind. The way that we be in the world, the way that we show up in the world, our state of being comes very much from what we believe to be true. And most of the time we are so bombarded by media propaganda, by ideas and opinions and influences that are external to us, that we're not actually formulating anything brand new for ourselves. We're not actually inquiring or weighing some of these beliefs against our own moral code. Now, Buddha also says not to believe anybody. Don't believe the teachers, the preachers. Don't believe the government. Don't believe politicians. Don't believe your parents. Don't believe anything that anybody says, no matter how much you respect them. Take every bit of information that you receive and weigh it against your own conscience and decide for yourself what you believe to be true. And so with this whole idea of changing our state of being, I just want to invite you while we're here together just to take a nice deep breath. Breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. Relax your jaw. And just start to slow down the breath, deepening your inhales and lengthening your exhales. And when we can practice sitting like this, calming all of these mental aberrations, these thought patterns that are incessantly coming into the mind, when we can just sit and really contemplate the idea of stillness, of peace, of quiet, and we can start to alter our state of being. A lot of the times, the way that we show up, again, it comes from belief systems, and these belief systems may not have even been selected by us. They might have been programmed through our education, through our upbringing, through religious education that we might have received in church or school or wherever. And a lot of the times we haven't really decided for ourselves what is true, and yet we run these programs of fear, we run these programs of worst case scenario, and we kind of go down these rabbit holes when actually there is so much more that we can do by cultivating stillness instead. When we can clear some of these mental fluctuations of the mind, and for me, the practice of yoga, the practice of pranayama, breath work, the practice of asana, physical yoga practice, and meditation, as well as self-contemplation, all of these yogic practices have been the way for me to find my inner self, my higher self, this place of peace that is unaffected by what's going on around me, ultimately. And it is my decision, my daily moment to moment to moment decision to continue returning to that place. And so a lot of the times, I mean, when I first finished studying yoga formally in order to get my certifications and go out into the world and teach people, I would speak about the benefits of meditation, although I didn't practice it. And it's really not until practicing the different techniques, really self-studying, looking for patterns, belief systems, structures, or models, and combining them with this idea, this concept of stillness, this concept of meditation, of concentration, of really clearing the mind from anything that is not peace, that I started to understand how much benefit these practices can really have. Now we can start to change even our personality, even things about ourselves that we have come to accept as just being the way that we are. Everything in our lives are subject to change based on what we believe. And you can change your way of showing up in the world at any moment that you choose. whether that is moment to moment, or you know, you try it out for a moment and forget about it for years and come back to it later, which I have done. But I encourage you to really sit and contemplate this idea of being the change that you wish to see in the world. Now, that goes so far beyond, because we have to look at every single aspect. Now, we can think that we are being the change. So, for example, I don't like to use this word. I don't like to describe my diet at all, but I am vegan, plant-based. And for me, that's one way that I'm doing my part to be the change. Now, if I sit in judgment of those who eat meat, am I really being any different or any better by sitting in judgment? For me, a huge part of what the world needs is a lack of judgment, of more compassion and understanding. And so there's some difficult things when we start to kind of look at, you know, being the change we want to be in the world without taking this self-righteous stance of then saying, well, I'm doing all of these things. Because then again, my diet is what I'm doing. It's not who I'm being, it's what I'm doing. And it's one of the ways that I choose to show up for the greater good, in my opinion. And so, not to confuse doing with being. And so what I can do is I can choose to be compassionate. This is one of the reasons I don't really talk as openly about my decision not to eat meat. Although with this podcast, I'll definitely dive into it because I do think it's an important podcast, not in this episode, but in episodes to come. But, you know, it's the emphasis is not necessarily on the doing. Some of us are really good at recycling and repurposing and reducing our carbon footprint. Others are really good at being able to be generous and help people out, you know, through philanthropy and things like this. And so all of these are actions. These are actions. But how are we being? Because if we are, say, giving with resentment, that's not being the change. If we are self-righteous with these good deeds that we do, we're just muddying the very waters that we're trying to clear. And so being the change, it really means this concept of almost guarding the mind so that you can address every single thought that appears to creep into your psyche and analyze whether this is the state of being that you want to align to. I can't even remember what it was today. This happens multiple times a day, but I found myself in judgment of someone for something. And I caught the thought and I just kind of inspected it. Whew, this is interesting that I would feel the need to judge this particular person. And what does that say about me? In what way does my judgment of this person reflect who I'm being in this moment? And is that in alignment? And of course it wasn't. And so I made peace with the judgment right then and there. And that is really an example of how this kind of works in real time. I mean, it's being on guard of your thoughts, because what happens is a thought comes into the mind and we either accept it or reject it. And once it's been accepted, we typically act on it. And that can give way. So judgment can give way to gossip, can give way to being overly critical, can give way to being mean, can give way to being jealous even. And so there's all of these almost like consequences of accepting every single little thought that comes into your mind. And this, if we don't stand on guard of our thought process, this can be what muddies our own waters. This can be what alters our state of being. The first time that I started to do this, I can't remember. I think it was something that I had read in the Law of Attraction. I think that's what it's called. Or The Secret. And that came out years and years ago. And after I read that, I mean, there's a lot about that I kind of took some, left some. But I remember for whatever reason, this particular part about it saying that you have to be a mental gatekeeper. You have to be in charge of all of the thoughts that come into your mind. And at that basic primal level, that's where you start to make changes to yourself. And so I started. This was before I had any experience with yoga. This was, I think I was like 19 or 20 when I found this. And I remember starting out watching my thoughts. And I probably wasn't very good at watching all of them, but the ones that I did catch that were coming in were incredibly negative. And I became almost like very embarrassed, even though I knew nobody else was privy to this information, but that I was perceivably one of the most negative people I have ever met. And yet most people that I knew would not describe me that way at all. And so here I was, this like closet negative person showing up in the world in a really inauthentic way. And my state of being was so disharmonious. It's not at all in alignment with who I wanted to be. And yet I wasn't making any daily efforts to show up as who I wanted to be. I would wake up and I would let the day take me. And I would think the way that I was programmed to think. And I would react in the same old ways that I've always reacted. And nothing changed because nothing changed. I was a product of my environment. When I started watching my thoughts, it became very, very clear very, very quickly that I had a lot of work to do. And it's still a practice that I utilize to this day, catching thoughts that come in. Lucky for me, my partner is kind of on board with all of these things. And so from time to time, I mean, he or I will call each other on a comment. That was an interesting comment. Is that a judgment? Where does that come from? What's true? Is that really true? Or is that just because you're feeling in this particular way right now? And so being almost like this mental gatekeeper is a really, really great way to start in the direction of being the change that you wish to see in the world. Truthfully speaking, it's really not until we practice these things consistently that we start to see any change. For me, it's taken close to a decade to see and compare where I was then to where I am now. And it's very dramatic. The difference is now 13 years later. But it's this concept of step by step by step by step by step, trimming and pruning all of the thought forms, the models of thinking, the programs that are running, kind of just trimming, cleaning them up, pruning, little bits and pieces. That part there, don't really align with that. Let's scrap that out for more compassion. Less judgment, more compassion. Let's start to install this new program, this new way of being. So I encourage you guys, while we're going through this strange worldwide global crisis, that you work on yourself. Never mind what anybody else is doing or how anybody else is reacting. You work on yourself, because as long as this thing continues to unfold the way that it is, the world is going to be changing dramatically. And I think that it's very, very important that we consider how we plan to contribute to whatever world we are returning to. I don't think that we can go back to sleep after this. I don't think that it would be right for us not to demand some very serious change for the better of this world. And really and truly, I can tell you that all of the years that I've been studying consciousness, that I've been studying spiritual change and growth and development and overcoming these layers of social programming and installing a new kind of hardwire in the mind, becoming a different person, I spent a lot of time really exhaustively trying to force change on people around me. And that was just kind of an example, I think, of my spiritual immaturity at the time, that I really and truly thought I needed to be this light bearer. And as a result, what would happen is I would bring these concepts to people that were not ready to hear them. And then I would grow incredibly impatient and incredibly frustrated, which is in complete disharmony from the principles that I was trying to convey. And so in effect, my fire to really spread this kind of information was put out by my own state of being, because I wasn't in harmony with these teachings. I was really trying to force them. I was trying to impose them on other people instead of living them. And I think this is what I admire so much about the tradition and the lineage of yoga and how it's been passed on. It's been passed on mouth to mouth to mouth to mouth, mouth to ear rather. And the first texts were written over 2,000 years ago, but instead of even writing them down, the guru would teach the devotee, and the devotee would become a living teaching. And I think that is so, so, so powerful. That is exactly the concept of being the change that we wish to see in the world. That not only are we aspiring to be a certain way, but we are challenging ourselves constantly, moment to moment, with each little thought that comes into our sphere. We are challenging ourselves to be in alignment. Now, this is a tough practice. I wish you luck, and I hope it's something that you give it a try, that you come back to it often. Because a lot of the times I notice within myself these contradictions, and I'm getting better at it now. I'm getting better at not beating myself up over it. There's part of it that's human nature. There's a part of it that's very addictive. If you're around a bunch of people that like to gossip, that spreads like wildfire. So be very attentive to the type of people that you give energy to, the types of conversations that you engage in, the types of music and the lyrics that you listen to, the television shows and what their messages are. Are they raising your vibration, or are they causing you to be in this state that's not really alignment with how you want to show up in the world? We have a tremendous responsibility to the planet and to one another and to every sentient being to truly wake up, to truly embody this teaching of being the change. And so I challenge you, if you are into journaling at all, maybe you're just into mulling things over in your mind, but whatever way you process things, think about this. How am I being currently? And if you're willing to dive down the rabbit hole, start to peel back the layers. How am I being and why? When did I first start showing up in this way? Start to look at things like judgment, negativity, gossip. Start to look at things like pessimistic tendencies, negativity, these lower vibrational things, fear. When was the first time I felt fearful? And how else has this manifested in my existence, in my experience? There's so much that we can do without being in action, if that makes sense. There's so much that we can do by being still and quiet and listening from the inside. And this time, more than ever, we really need people to wake up, to come alive. And it's in that waking up that consciousness starts to pick up a lot of momentum. These are really interesting days that we find ourselves in. And there's a lot more that we can do than I think we consider. We don't have to take radical action in the world. We can sit for 10 minutes of quiet and adjust the state of being that we're in so that we might show up to the world to be of service instead of contributing to the problems that are continuing to put our whole collective humanity in this place of disharmony with the earth and all of its inhabitants. So just a quick episode for the third episode. I don't want to discuss too many of the politics around the crisis that we're experiencing right now, because I do think that we need to keep it really, really light, and we need to be dropping from our heads into our hearts. Thank you so much for listening. If you are around on Instagram Live, I've committed to doing a free yoga class every single day, Monday to Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please feel free to show up. Otherwise, you can find these all on my YouTube channel later on for your convenience. Have a beautiful, beautiful day, and be the change.